The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Who's that whispering in the trees? It's two Santas and they're on leave.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to my brother, me, and my show for the Modern Era. I'm the Cherry
Poppin' Daddies. It's 1996.
Daddies. It's 1996, and I'm the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
I'm the Squirrel Nut Zippers, Travis McElroy.
And I'm Scobbies, Griffin McElroy. Now, you might not be familiar with Scobbies.
Is it like Scobby, Scabies?
That was the play on words. My ska band from 1997. We came in kind of at the tail end of Swingers Mania. That was the name of my band, was Scobbies, and nobody ever came to any of our shows, and we did like 150 of them.
Do you know think about the ancillary costs of being the Cherry Poppin' Daddies? Like, think about how many people they forced to say those words.
Yeah.
Think about the fact that, like, think about at one point Casey Kasem, God rest his soul, probably had to say the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Yeah.
There had to be a moment where he turned to like his producer and was like, I'm not gonna do this. I'm an adult.
Coming in at number one, my refusal to say Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Don't we have anything by the Mighty Mighty Bosstones? I don't find that displeasurable.
Casey, we've talked to you about this. Please don't phrase all conversations in the form of a top 40 list.
it was either that or Hyman Wreckers. And they could, that doesn't even...
It's the worst. I just don't understand.
Wait. Stop. Hyman Wreckers is worse than Cherry Poppin' Daddies. Yeah. Because mine is at least clinical in nature.
That's true, but Cherry Poppin' Daddies, I think, does insert this sort of, like, gleeful, almost Robin Hood-esque, roguish, as if one cherry hasn't popped and they've leapt into the trees to go pop cherries another day before like the sheriff of Nottingham can catch them.
For my money, it's not the cherry popping part of their nom de plume that I disagree with and wish to throw into a lake somewhere. It's the daddy's part, because why does it have to be that? It couldn't either both bad, both parts of it, right? But why do you have to have the daddies on the end of it too? Because that's genuinely upsetting in a combination with the earlier two words.
Agreed.
Why couldn't it be the cherry poppin' friends, the cherry poppin' guys?
Why couldn't it just be like the good time down home ska band? It's swing time.
That would certainly be ideal, wouldn't it?
You could guess what the Cherry Poppin' Daddies are up to for 100 years and not guess the most recent fact on their Wikipedia, which is in a Huffington Post interview, the lead singer of the Cherry Poppin' Daddies said, my plan is to do a psychobilly / Zappa / American Idiot / R-Cum type record that paints a picture of the American socio-political scene circa 2014.
Yay!
Wait, why 2014? You're 2 years behind already, Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
These guys like do swing music. They're not really like up to date.
Well, this interview is 20. I mean.
This interview happened in 1999. How did he know? 15 years in the future. Let me tell you, it's going to get...
The Cherry Poppin' Daddies are unstuck in time.
It's going to get all fucked up, guys. Social media, we're all going to be real dicks to each other for a long time.
he also mentioned in that same interview from 2014 that he had recently obtained the rights to Zoot Suit Riot. And so just in time, I guess.
Oh my God, I'm reading the lyrics to Zoot Suit Riot right now. Hold on. And this song was released in the late 90s, and one of the verses starts out, #SnapchatSexting2. So, like, they are able to see through time. They have pierced the veil of time.
Do you remember their hit song, Our First Black President?
Oh my god!
Yeah,
whoa! That one had a nice beat I could dance to.
Oh god! Oh no! This song, they have a song called the 2017 All Flu, and it's the dark All Flu will consume the globe.
Oh
none
shit!
None left but the bugs and rats. Oh no!
That was one of their ballads.
But they have a song right here that's. They have a song right here that said Carly Rae Jepsen will have the summer jam of 2016. So, like, I'm fucking super on board.
Got that to look forward to.
Yeah, before the all flu consumes, just consumes us all, at least we'll have, like, some good tunes to go out to.
Thanks, Cherry Pop and Nostradamus.
Yeah, you guys are great.
As you've certainly guessed by now, this is an advice show.
How the fuck did we, like, what was the, why did we start talking about Cherry Pop and Daddies? What was the scene?
The better question is, why did we stop talking about Cherry Pop and Daddies? It's a whole episode. I'll tell you, Griffin. Honestly, the truth is, we introduced ourselves, right? Justin McElroy.
Mm-hmm. That's when I said that great Scobbies joke.
Yeah, it's great. I think they were on my mind because there were a few people campaigning on Twitter that we should never say "part the kimono" again because they found it morally repugnant.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole phrase and idea, and
understand that we also do?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
That's what I'm struggling with right now. Is like it's disgusting and repellent, and I'm still using it in this sort of like, how would you like immersion therapy? Like trying to rob it of its power over me by like just really employing it. And I think that was on my mind when I started talking about the Cherry Pop and Daddies because I'm trying to like.
Think of just a list. You were making a list of morally repugnant things.
Just repellent things that I need to, like, overcome in my day-to-day life.
Okay, yeah. Well, we can always, drop part the kimono and get back to put the tiger on the table and yell at it. Was that it? Fuck, I don't know. We got to rewind the tapes.
Was ass deep in alligators? I think that was in there.
Maybe.
Hey, this is crazy, brothers. We got a voicemail. This week. That voicemail
Holy
line?
Shit.
This is an actual true story. We got a voicemail from somebody this week. If you don't remember, back when the show first started, like a long, 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 long time ago, we had a voicemail line that people could call and leave us a message. And I think, did we edit them into the show? Like, I don't think we did.
I don't think we ever did. I think they were just for our enjoyment. But
maybe we could, like, try to do that at
some
point.
No, because when we tried to do it last time, it became a fucking repository for people who would do, like, fucking whippets and then just, like, barf garbage into our voicemail. And we had to listen to all of the... Like, you could hear them, like, finishing the whippet as the voicemail started.
Okay, wait.
Like, hey, brothers, what's up? I'm Carolyn and fuck.
Fuck. I'm going to go chill. I need some orange slices. No, I think that... So anyway, I got an email notification that we got a voicemail. I was like, oh, shit. So I listened to it, and then I was like, wait a minute. What is the number for the voicemail? I have no clue of what the voicemail box number is. And so there was a phone number in the email notification. I was like, oh, shit, that must be it. So I'm going to call it real quick. And just I forgot what the message was and everything. And I called, and it was ring, 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 ring. And then, hello? Like, oh, what? This isn't what I expected to happen. Turned out that phone number was the phone number of the person who had left the Google
voicemail. No, Justin!
So I just called this person at about 10:30 at night, just like, to kind of, just out of nowhere.
Hi, this is Justin. I'm lonely.
Hi, this is Justin. Did you call? So,
did you want to be my friend?
Did you have a chat?
What? Yeah, we said hi. It's a cool dude. Very complimentary.
It would be great if that guy just assumed that like everybody was just getting Justin calls all the time.
The fucking
Justin called them back.
The sweet treat for that dude, he didn't even realize, but the sweet treat for that dude is that I was a hair's breadth away from tweeting that number out like, hey, let's do some voicemails again. I miss it.
Oh shit! All right, let's do some advice.
If you can find that number, please tweet it at me.
Yeah, that's sad that we don't know. Yeah, I want to say it's like something something mabim bam one,
something like that. Yeah, I don't remember it. This is it's ungoogleable. I've tried to Google it. I couldn't find it there either.
Damn it!
This is the second winner. Anyway, these are not voicemails. These are emails people have sent to mbmbam@maximumfun.org.
These are like voicemails, but with words.
Yeah.
Voicemails you type. Here we go. This is the second winter that I've owned my home. Thankfully, I don't have a very big section or sidewalk or driveway that I need to clear snow from, but despite its not being very big, it's still something I need to do. What's the neighborly etiquette for removing snow? Some of my neighbors get out there and remove snow so quickly, and I have more of a philosophy of, I'll do it when it fits my schedule. If it snows overnight, do I have to take care of it first thing in the morning? I can't wait till I get home from work. I already think my neighbors judge me for not being right on top of those outdoor chores, like mowing the lawn, raking the leaves, snow removal, etc. Yes, thank you for including snow removal in the group.
I'd already forgotten
what you're talking about. What are some thoughts on neighborly etiquette for removing snow? And that's from I'll shovel when I get to it in Wisconsin.
Well, I think it's important to note that I think it's two different. I think your driveway is one thing and the sidewalk is another. Because I don't think your neighbors give two shits what you do with your driveway.
No, but postwoman Melinda is going to care what's up with your sidewalk.
Exactly. Though. Like the old lady that lives next door to you that needs to get down to the corner to catch the bus and has to walk through 2 feet of snow because you just decided you'll do it when you get home. That might be an ish.
You were the one who decided to live between an old lady's house and a store labeled Old Lady Pills.
Yeah.
Bargains.
Yeah. What's the name of the store?
Old Lady's Pills. And then underneath that sign, there's a smaller sign. That's
colon. Bargains. The subtitle to the store.
I was trying to make the store as appealing as I could to old ladies.
And about two blocks down, the Old Lady Pills store, colon, origins. That's where the Old Lady Pills store rises.
Hey, have you been to Old Lady Pills store Ascendant yet? It's a brash new take. It's got webisodes.
It's a dark webisode reboot. It's fucking horrible.
It's a Flash-based 18-part webisode series.
It's one of those fucking, it's like a choose-your-own-adventure YouTube dive. I don't want to spoil it, but she gets the pills in the end.
How you might think.
My new Old Lady Pills store is a Twitch channel where people vote on whether or not the old ladies get pills.
I'm just glad there's so many like audience facing old lady pill stores now.
Yeah, sure.
For sure.
Pete. This is you gotta just consider the public use section of your zone.
Yeah.
And then take care of that. That's just common courtesy. That is a different, Travis is right. That's a different thing from like, oh, you let your grass grow too tall and it doesn't look good. You should still tend to your shit. But it's not as important as like the thing that could kill an old person, which
is because the problem is if you wait too long and if you become known as the dude who like doesn't do it till like 5:30 p.m. or some shit, someone in your neighborhood is going to start doing it for you.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds cool, but that's not going to feel good.
Here's what I want you to do. And you turn it into a little fun game. I've been really into gamifying my processes lately. You take a roll of Lifesavers. And then when you wake up and you got that fresh, crisp powder, I want you to close your eyes and spin around 10 times and then just throw it into your yard. And then when you're digging, it's like a little fun game. Where's the Lifesavers at?
Hey.
Where's my buried treasure? Where's my fruity reward? I do that with most of the things in my life.
You hide Lifesavers in them?
Yeah. Like if I need to do them but I can't like... But I can't like bring myself to do it. Tuck some in the cat litter. Good. Oh, now I'll clean it out. There's pineapples in there.
I'm way into just throwing rock salt down, because I feel like that even if that doesn't melt enough of the snow and ice, it gives you like a nice gritty, sort of grit that is gonna minimize. Can you put a sign on your yard that says I work nights?
Hey, chill out.
Hey, wouldn't that be like, you don't know my situation. I don't know your situation.
Exactly. A sign in your yard, 6 foot by 6 foot, that just says, I work nights. And then that way, wait a minute. That could get you out of a lot of stuff, right?
What do you mean?
Like, somebody comes to the door, you don't feel like it. Like, you just can't right now with that. You can't right now with that. Put a sign up in the front yard that says, I work nights. That means they come to the door. It's during the daytime. They're going to see that sign. They're going to think, oh, I shouldn't. I really shouldn't bother them. They're probably sleeping. They come back at night, and then you still don't answer. They're like, oh, shit. He's at work.
I should break in.
But you're there.
But then you're there.
But you're there. uh-oh, honeypot, that what I'm saying is, if you have a sign as a sign that says, I work nights, you don't have to do anything anymore. Why is your yard not shuffled? Well, I work nights, so I guess I'll get to it tonight in the freezing cold, if that's what you want from me. I guess. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had a human soul, but yeah. I guess I'll go out and shovel it after working.
After working? I guess I'll get to it at like 3?
You jerk.
You jerk.
Is there not a neighborhood child that you could pay $10? Like, every time it snows, they get really excited. And they're like, $10. And they jump to, they knock on the door. You answer in, like, your robe and slippies with a coffee. And you're like, this is good enough. And you give them $10. And you never have to worry about it.
And then they do a super duper shitty job because they're a little kid. And what the fuck?
Well, but then you give them 5. It's a sliding scale. It's good for the economy. It's capitalism, you know? Okay.
But you need to bump both those up because $10 doesn't buy shit for shit anymore.
Well, then another kid moves in. He does it for 8. You know, and now you're competing.
I completely did this at my last house, but there was a lot of foot traffic. I don't even have a snow shovel because I believe in like putting money back in the economy.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't even have a snow shovel, but I'm just having the terrifying realization that like nobody's gonna come to my house now. It's more removed. No one's gonna come here. What am I gonna do?
You're like on a cul-de-sac. I think you're fine as is. Just like leaving her. Just leaving her.
Just leaving her.
Just leave her. How about a Yahoo?
Please.
This Yahoo is sent in. This is fucking service journalism, what we're about to do. Because, like, maybe a dozen people sent this Yahoo in. And thank you, all of you. It's by a Yahoo Answers user. They are anonymous. I'll call them Rope. Rope.
You're Rope. Calling them Rope.
Their name is Rope. Rope asks, do you ship planets together or no?
Ooh.
Ooh.
I ship Mercury and Mars. Yes.
No. Nope.
Okay. Yes, the work. Planets only. IDK, why I do what I do. And then there's like a really creepy smiley face emoticon.
When I do.
I think they are fine together since they both have lots in common. They're both red. They're both quite windy. They're quite familiar with this planet, etc. What about you? Be as sweet and innocent, please, and thank you. Update. Anyone else a Mercury X Mars shipper? Just me? Okay. And I mean by relationships. Update 2. I also ship stars. My fave one is Sol and Sirius. Are sometimes the star Sirius equals true love. Not sure what any of that meant. But let's ship the fuck out of these astral bodies, gentlemen.
Well, here's the thing. I think the obvious option, and I think we were all thinking it, so I'll just come right out and say it. It's Earth and Pluto. Now, hear me out.
Wow.
Earth is the popular girl, right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves Earth. Everybody loves Earth. Pluto, he's an outcast. He's dark. He's brooding. He's a little cold. Everyone's like, stay away from Pluto. He'll treat you wrong, right? He's not even a planet. He doesn't belong with us. But Earth sees something there. But at first, she's afraid, right? Because she thinks like, oh, I need to keep up my like popular girl, cool girl image. But then she spends a little time with Pluto, and she sees something there. You know, he's got some moons. He's got some heart. And once she gets past his frozen shell, there's something there.
I don't think Pluto has moons. I think they like classified it as a moon, didn't they?
No, I think Pluto's got moons.
It's fucking big old dumpy moons.
Can I just request that Earth not get into any relationships with any other planets? Because like we're all having a lot of fun here today.
Yeah.
If Earth fucks another planet, we die.
We're done, so yeah.
We're done. That's it. But there's no intercourse where that works out well for us.
The Earth is the protagonist of the solar system, though, right?
Yeah.
Like it's the emotional core of the solar system. So like I know the most about it. I want to match it up with a planet. Like I feel like Jupiter, we could have some fun there. A lot of dumpy moons. Ooh.
To be fair, isn't the Earth and the Sun already in a pretty solid, loving relationship?
Yeah, but the Sun is a polygamist because they're in a relationship.
Yeah, but we're the only one that it treats right. We're the only one that could sustain life.
Yeah,
and like we don't burn or are too cold.
I can't imagine Earth's going to be very popular with the other planets because like they're going to get a little too close to Earth, and they're going to be like, what is that itchy shit all over you?
What is that smell?
What is that smell and itchy, gross shit on you? And Earth's going to be like, ah, that's life. I don't know what happened. I got colonized. I need to see somebody about that, a planet doctor.
I like Earth-Mercury. I think that's really a fun matchup, yeah.
Oh, and you could call it Mirth.
There's a Japanese concept called tsundere. And it just means like a character that plays you hot and cold. I feel like that's Mercury all over, isn't it? Like you, Mercury's like, nah, Earth, never gonna get it. But then it turns around, faces the right way, and it's like, nah, come here, come closer.
I was gonna say that like Mars together. And Earth have like a Sam and Diane kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's just like, will we land on it? Oh, we kind of landed on it. Oh, but nothing happened. Oh, will we get people there? Well, who knows?
Mars is like a lot of women I've loved in that I have spent a considerable amount of time looking at them through a telescope.
Okay.
Bring it back, Jerry Bob and Daddy. We're gonna reel it back on in.
Let's pull that one back. Let me hit you guys with this. Let's stop being so geocentric.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hit you with Mars cross Jupiter and think about that for a second. Obviously, there is a spatial difference in terms of scale,
mm-hmm.
but also they're separated by the Great Asteroid Belt. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's fucking pretty romantic, don't you?
Yeah.
Separated by a cosmic ocean of unforgiving rock. But these two lovers just want to be together, don't you think?
Their families don't approve. And also, the asteroid belt separating them is problematic.
Everyone on this side of the asteroid belt is on team cool guys.
Uh-huh.
And everyone on that side of the asteroid belt is on another team that is not Team Cool Guys. Right?
Just like in Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly like that.
Well, I couldn't think of a name, so I went with Team Cool Guys, which would be a way better version of Romeo and Juliet.
We cool guys hate you, not cool guys. Yeah. Bite my thumb.
Think about it. Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, all
How have we not
ships.
Talked about Saturn, the most beautiful planet in the solar system?
Saturn is aesthetically like...
Yeah,
dope.
But he's stuck up, isn't he?
Ooh, Saturn's a boy to you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. Why is that an issue even at all?
I don't know, but for some reason to me, Saturn was a lady.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. I think Venus is a woman, because it's right there.
Yeah.
But all the other ones, like, I think it's a fucking grab bag.
What about Orion's belt plus the Big Dipper?
Okay, so now we're just sort of expanding the scale of it.
Well, stars were included in there, and I don't know any proper names.
Okay. What about Beetlejuice? And Lydia?
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. I never really understood. Is there a romantic thing going on there, or what? Like,
that would be bad.
Yeah, but now that she's, like, in Beetlejuice 2, the sequel to Beetlejuice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beetlejuicier. Are they going to be romantically involved?
Well, in the cartoon, she was much more like his little buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's definitely in the movie... He tries to marry her.
That is true.
That's true.
And that would be a bad union. There would be a lot of what I'm just going to go ahead and call ever so delicately slime time.
You know, I bet there's going to be a joke in the next Beetlejuice movie, Beetlejuice 2, the sequel to Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuicier returns. Returns. Ascension.
When he gets out of black and white striped cell phone and starts pounding keys on, he's like, hey, check it out, Tweedlejuice. And he's tweeting.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
My penis shriveled up.
Tweedlejuice.
When you made that joke. Because I think it did predictively. Like, it just because I know you're so right. You're right, and that is going to happen. And
it is going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good joke. Don't get it twisted. Although, if it delivered by the inimitable Michael Keaton, he could probably sell it.
Do you think there will also be a joke where he's wearing the black and white suit and he goes, look, I'm thick? Something along those lines,
something
a thick
like
reference?
I just hate
all these blurred lines, Lydia.
I came back from the digs. This guy Dick's stealing my look. Is this how Beetlejuice sounded?
Yeah, it is absolutely. Can we cut out the middleman? And just get thick in the picture.
Thick is Beetlejuice Jr. in Beetlejuice 2, the sequel to Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice here. He's Beetlejuice's
Ascension.
Son.
You left out Ascension, and that's Ascension. An important part of the brand.
He doesn't think his dad's cool. He thinks his dad's yesterday's news, but he still loves his look.
Nope, I'm not ready for him to come back in my life yet.
I'm not ready.
How about another question?
Nick. Some days I don't have much energy, and I want to take a nap. If I don't set an alarm, I end up sleeping for hours and wake up feeling groggy and gross. When I do set alarm for 15 to 20 minutes, I never seem to fall asleep. And am I napping wrong? How can I master the art of the nap? Tired in Toronto, we have got your back.
You are talking to three professional nappers.
Nap genius.
I wish somebody would annotate Justin's naps.
Annotate my naps. It would just be a string of, he looks so adorable. He looks like an angel. Look at him. Is he glowing? There seems like a precious nap light.
He's napping actually a centimeter off of the bed. You can't tell, but there's actually air between Justin and whatever surface he's napping on.
Why does Justin make constant kissing noises while he's asleep? Well, no one really knows for sure, but here's my theory. Dream kisses.
Naps are personal. You can do naps wrong. A lot of people say they can't do naps. It's because you're doing them wrong. I want to tell you my nap strategy because it's very personal, I think. But here's what I do, okay? It's very scientific. I use an app called Pazzizz. That's P-Z-I-Z-Z.
You still on Pazzizz?
Still on Pazzizz.
I started to get worried. No joke. I started to get worried about some like Manchurian candidate shit happening via Pazzizz.
Pazzizz is the delivery vehicle. It does work though, right? Like it puts you to, it's a nap. It's an application.
It's a creepy application.
It's a creepy application. Yeah. Where you set the exact amount of time that you want to go to sleep. For me, it's 25 minutes. If I set a nap for 25 minutes,
5 minute warm up to fall asleep, and then 20 minutes of unconsciousness.
And then 20 minutes of perfect unconscious sleep. If you sleep for the next nap station that you can see, the naps go in a circle, right? They're like a curve. It's a curve. So. A full cycle of sleep takes about 90 minutes from peak to valley to peak. So if you wake up at 45 minutes, you're going to be right in the middle of a valley. You're going to be way deep in REM, and it's going to be hell on earth. You're never going to recover from that until that evening. But if you hit it just the right spot where you're just sort of like asleep, you can just like kickstart yourself. So that's what I do. 25 minutes, invest in a sleep mask. It's totally worth it. And also, I use like noise.
Especially if you do funny googly eyes on the outside of it.
Yes, totally worth it. That's a sight gag that never wears out. And then I use like earbuds with like some like noise cancellation shit. So like full sensory deprivation. Here's another tip, super quick, and then I'll let my brothers talk because they're like nap geniuses too. I don't get under my sheets or blankets for an
interesting.
Hour. I have like an outer blanket. Like I'll pull up a blanket, but
you have
like
a nappy time bink bink?
Like a nappy time bink bink? Because if I get under my sheets, I'm telling myself it's bedtime. But anyway, that's why a nappy time bink bink is great too.
That's great.
See, for me, I've experimented with naps for going on 32 years now, and I feel like I finally figured it out, and that is, one, I cannot nap in a bed. It's too much pressure. It's telling myself it's time for sleeping, for bedtime, and it's not. I have to nap on a couch. And I can't nap in a quiet room. I got to put on low-level TV, something that's distracting me, that's clicking off like, hey, you're not trying to fall asleep. You're just going to fall asleep. Because if I try to fall asleep, I will not. So I need something that's like lulling me to bed, and I use the alarm. I just tell Siri, wake me up in 25 minutes. I don't go through the like programming. I don't make a big rigmarole. Don't make it a big deal. I just say like, Siri, wake me up in 25 minutes. Sleep, right?
You're saying you literally, every step of this process, you trick your body into thinking you're not about to take a nap.
Exactly.
You circle back around the back door. And you're talking over the door. It's like, psych, we're going to sleep.
Because when I try to,
it's too much pressure. I can't do it. I'm sitting there going, fall asleep, fall asleep, fall asleep, fall asleep. But instead I'm going, nope, just going to relax, watch some TV, I'm out. That's the way I do it. And it works because then you wake up and just as you gently fell into sleep, you gently come back out of sleep.
Hmm. Here's my thing.
Super quick, one other tip, especially if you go for this 25-minute shit, it is going to feel like you just fell asleep, and that's exactly the idea. If you think, 10 more minutes, you're fucked. You're fucked. Do not snooze.
Don't put the alarm too close to you.
No.
Set it on the table away from you so you got to reach for it.
Throw your body out of bed and just get on it. Griffin.
I plan, you have to plan on taking, I'm the opposite of Travis. I plan my naps a good half day in advance. When I wake up in the morning, oh, that wasn't a very good sleep. I know I'm going to need a nap later on.
That is actually true. Griffin has told me, like, while we're having breakfast, like, I'm going to need a nap later. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, my shit don't sneak up on me. I know my body at this point. I've been around for 28 years. I've had 28 years of knowing just how my body reacts to the pressures of day-to-day life or night-to-night sleep life. And so knowing that in the morning times, I take my shower and I eat my oatmeal. And then when I'm picking out my outfit for the day, I say, what is the tightest, most uncomfortable clothing that I own? This belt, there's not a good notch for me. There's like one that's too loose and one that's too tight. I wear that, set it to the too tight setting. I wear a shirt that I got too fat for in the holiday times, put that right on. I wear these skinny jeans. I don't know why I own these fucking idiot things. They make my butt look like a Cinnabon somebody sat on. I'm going to wear that too. Put all that on. Socks with holes in it, yeah, absolutely. And then I'm gonna wear dress shoes all day like a clown. So I'm gonna wear all that, and then I'm gonna walk around and just like do my stuff, like feeling uncomfortable the whole day. And then delay it, you gotta delay your shit until you are about to literally pass out unconscious because of how sleepy you are. If you start to feel a little sleepy and you go for the nap, you're not gonna hit it. Dope. You gotta dive off.
You can overshoot that though, be careful.
Oh yeah,
because if you
yeah.
Yeah, because you will just...
You got to learn where your point of no return is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so, if you go to... I know that if it's past, like, 4:30 p.m.
Oh, don't sleep... No. Don't nap after 4. That's ridiculous. Yep. So, yeah, you get so sleepy, and you know you've hit your peak low, and then go to the bedtime. It doesn't. You don't need any fucking special application of voice telling you to kill Vice President Joe Biden in your ear while you're asleep when you're at your most fucking psychically vulnerable. You don't have to, like, lower your... fucking window shade made out of deer bones or whatever to begin the sacrament. No, you just take off your super uncomfortable clothes that you've been wearing all day that you put on in the morning in advance, and then you feel amazing. And then you get in bed however you want, whatever bed, couch, floor, it doesn't matter. At that point, you're going to be so comfortable, so ready for beddy by time. And then you zonk out. And then you have to have set an alarm, because what they said about 25 minutes is also very important.
But Griffin, you are also a human being who, if I remember correctly from our youth, could sleep anywhere.
Yeah.
I have to trick myself.
Well, you haven't tried my super tight clothes thing. Try it out. It's changed my life.
So Griff, you agree with 25 minutes too?
Yeah, it's got to be 25 minutes. Any longer than that, and you're
I have gone 45 and felt awesome.
No, that's then it must have taken you a while to go to sleep, because
that's what it is. If I know that my backwards falling back into it method isn't going to work right away, I will do the 45.
Secret to a good nap is falling asleep instantly, and I'm telling you, this combo of waiting until you're at peak sleepiness and also you take off all your uncomfy clothes, oh boy, you'll be asleep before you hit the bed. Have somebody aim you. Have a friend there to aim your unconscious body as it plummets into dream zone. Fucking kicking it with Morpheus from the Matrix movies.
Let's go to the... Speaking... you go to the dream zone. I'm headed to the money zone.
The money zone is my dream zone. Joke's on.
Hey guys, tell me what we're selling today.
Well, Justin, it's 2016.
Correct.
Do you make resolutions? Do you have resolutions?
I don't really do that. I just try to live a little better every day.
I got a resolution, and it's to sip fucking tasty, elegant cups of that good red stuff.
Well, good news, Griffin. We've got a sponsor that's going to help you out. It's Blood Club.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, wait. I read that wrong. It's Club W. Club W is a wine subscription service, and let me tell you guys, I'm a big fan, big old fan. Basically what it is they have a series of questions that helps you determine what kind of wine you will like. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a connoisseur. You don't have to be a sommelier. Maybe you're just like, you know, I kind of like sweet foods.
You don't have to be a Somali pirate.
You don't have to be Somali at all. You just have to know what you like. And then, like, you answer these questions, and Club W recommends some wines, and you're like, yeah, that sounds great.
Let me get some of that good red stuff, and then they send it to you.
It's a revolutionary new wine club. It sends the wine directly to your door, so you don't have to, like, go out to the grocery store. And not only does it send the wine to your home, it sends you wine you'll love, and the best part, my favorite part, along with the wine, you'll get these cards that tell you all about the wine. So if you pop it open with some friends, you can be like, oh yeah, this has notes of cinnamon and like earth and leather.
And then all those friends will take turns punching you in the face. And it's just a big circle.
That's going to happen regardless, though.
Yeah. But it also tells you what it will pair with and gives you recipes for examples of dishes you could possibly serve it with. We did this, and the wine's not super expensive. Let me just jump right out and say
It's super, it's way cheaper than you would get it in the store for.
And not only that, right now, Club W is offering My Brother, and Me listeners 50% off your first order.
Holy crap.
So if you go to clubw.com/mybrother, you get 50% off already affordable wines. They'll ship the bottles directly to your door. It's amazing. It's incredible. I'm a huge fan of the service.
I want to read this next one because it is from good friends of the show, MeUndies. MeUndies. What's the secret to New Year's resolutions? Fucking sexy, soft underwear.
Yes.
That's something you have to do every day is put on underwear. And in 2016, it's time to take all your old stupid underwear, throw it in the garbage, and buy new MeUndies, the world's most comfortable underwear. Justin, my wife, Rachel, my loving wife, bought me those MeUndies lounge pants for the candle nights.
Yeah?
And my God.
Yep, full of stars.
It's like all I want to wear. It is like a wearable angel soft circus tent. There's so much room to explore down in there, and they're so soft, and oh, God. I want to be wearing them all the time.
It's like they say in that song, huge basketball shorts, it's like a Bedouin group tent cinched with a belt.
It's beautiful. If you head to MeUndies.com, you can choose from a variety of underwear styles in limited edition patterns, both for men and women, and they'll be delivered right to your door. You can get matching pairs of underwears for you and a loved one or a family member.
And that's fun.
And that's fun, not family member. I'm sorry I said family member. That sucks. Don't do that.
Me and Greg can have lots of matching pairs.
Right. Don't start your new year in old underwear. So important. Get your sexy right. Make a change. Head to MeUndies.com/mybrother right now, and you can get 20% off your first order. Again, MeUndies.com/mybrother. Get yourself some new underwear. Think about those lounge pants, because they fucking changed my life. If I was a video game character and I had to wear the same outfit in like every scene for my whole life, it would be these lounge pants. And then on top, I would probably wear my... I don't know, a nice polo.
It's just like a nice tasteful collared shirt.
Yeah, like a nice polo and dank-ass lounge pants.
Got some messages here from listeners. First up is from the Pastcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to discussing pop culture topics from the past. Each week focuses on a different theme as Rick and Ben talk about their experiences growing up. Episodes last roughly 45 minutes. I like that. I like knowing what I'm getting in for. And cover a broad range of categories, including video games, books, television, movies, board games, fashion, music, and toys. New episodes are released each Monday. How dare you?
Monday Funday. You're not part of the Monday Funday block. You could be, though.
The Monday Funday rock block is not...
We'll talk to our people. We'll see if we can make room for you.
I'll talk to my lawyer.
Until we can get you in the Monday Funday rock block on an official stance, we're going to need you to change. Thursday seems good. Nope, that's Adventure Zone Day.
You can do Sunday mornings.
So visit thepastcast.com and you can listen and subscribe to Rick and Ben. It's only going to take 45 minutes. That's half a nap.
Or you got that.
It's two naps almost.
We also have a message for CJ, and this is from Charlie and Garan.
Or Goran.
Or Goran. I prefer Goran. It makes it sound like a Godzilla monster.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We want to wish our dear friend CJ a happy, happy belated birthday.
That's what people call Godzilla. Hey, it's that Godzilla monster.
It's that there Godzilla monster.
He's tearing down our house buildings.
With his foot stompers.
Hey, that's a business skyscraper, Godzilla monster.
CJ turned 27 in August. Just missed it. CJ is a giant vegetarian Japanese speaking ear of corn from Nebraska who has a cat named Bucket and enjoys a nice glass of Riesling. That all sounds pretty straightforward.
Are you like going down a checklist of human characteristics? Like, yes, has a cat named Bucket. Okay, this all seems
sounds right. This all seems legit so far.
Seems like a person.
We love you so much, and please understand our lateness. We didn't have the idea till later. Let's get brunch soon.
Please, people. Like, we've tried to tell you this so many times. You don't have to take the heat for being late.
We'll take the heat.
We'll take the heat, but I think we can make an exception this time, Charlie and Guran, because I think we're fucking closer to the next birthday than the birthday that you originally intended. You have almost fucking split the uprights of the year.
Yeah. Happy early 28th birthday.
And late 27th. We planned it so it would be equidistant between the two dates.
It's two birthdays in one.
Like, this is, you've reached the point in the year where CJ does not even remember whether or not they have birthdays. Wait, birthday? Do I have those? I guess I did. Huh, weird. So, happy birthday, CJ.
Happy birthday.
I'm Jesse Thorne.
I'm Jordan Morris.
The federal government has millions of dollars in programs and opportunities that you need to seize today.
You're a taxpayer, right? Well, then you've got it coming.
Thanks to Uncle Sam, you can get grant programs for veterans.
Postage stamps that'll ensure your mail gets there in a timely fashion.
Fruit for you and your family.
Child care for your children that turns them into super soldiers.
Get $1 million to open your own lake.
Useful power tools that are easy on your soft, delicate hands.
Your own personal radioactive brick.
More sexual attention from everyone at the used bookstore.
Greyhound tickets.
Soft, gentle kisses from TV's John Goodman.
A real narwhal.
Athletic socks filled with stew.
A valuable pamphlet on millet.
Your father's approval.
Don't wait, right now.
For all of this and more, drop us a line.
Jordan Jesse Go, 123 iTunes Street, or wherever you download podcasts.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yep.
Yes.
Got a couple here. This one was sent in by Game Recognized Game, Rachel Rosen. Thank you, Rachel. It's by Yahoo Answers user ? Question mark only has 2% best answers, which I guess is better than 1%, but it sort of lets you know the bar of quality we're about to duck under. Question mark asks, if someone was to clone Barack Obama, could the clone run for president?
Huh.
Yeah, as a thinker.
So this assumes the form of cloning that's like one in one, like another adult Barack Obama steps out of the other
It's a half-formed baby Barack Obama. But he can talk like regular Barack Obama.
I want to be next president.
What? Yeah. Sorry. I think in that case he could.
I'm the cool one.
You're cool? Sorry, clone Barack, you sound
make baby Obama president.
Okay.
Help with flag pin. Throw flag pin into slime torso. Vote for me, hope and slime. Like, put nutrient sucker on, baby.
Pick me up, Robot Biden.
Robot Biden.
Put me in your stomach, Robot Biden.
Robot Biden. I'm Barack Clone Bomber. I have a mess. Put me in my nutrient bath.
I think he stands a good chance. Constitution wouldn't have fuck all to say about it, right?
Nature versus nurture, baby.
Well, that's not what that means at all.
That's in the Constitution, right next to the separation of church and state.
Yep. And we do a pretty good job of following that one too. So I
do want to see that where they're like flipping through the Constitution, like, doesn't say anything in here. I guess
we're good.
I guess it's fine.
I mean, we could do what we always do and just like make shit up based on, we could take like one word from, you know, Article 1 and then like 16 words from Article 3 and then just sort of throw them all together. Is that an apostrophe or a fucking ketchup stain? I don't know. Let's call it an apostrophe. Okay, we've changed it. No clones.
We could continue on with our 200-year-old sham of pretending that dudes who did not know what cell phones were like can like make the rules for us. Like, they have any idea how things are going to be going now.
They didn't have any Twitter followers, and they're trying to tell me how to live my life.
Do you know how many followers GW had? By which I mean George Washington? None.
Zero.
None.
GW was a fucking egg.
He was an egg.
None.
All right.
He didn't even have a Facebook fan page.
No, he did not. Let us assume that this is one of those fucking multiplicity, which is basically we have exited the realm of sci-fi and entered the realm of Michael Keaton magic.
Right. Uh-huh.
It's a multiplicity clone chamber. And okay. President Barack Hussein Obama, a lot of people like to omit that middle name.
Griffin says it because it matters.
he steps into that, and then another Barack Obama comes out, steps up to the podium, surprise guest at the next Democratic debate, and he's like, "Got you, suckers."
I very much enjoy the reality in which we can't convince people that Barack Obama is not like a secret Kenyan Muslim from space. And yet we will be able to convince him that, no, this person who looks exactly like him in every way is not actually him.
Well, it's a fucking double standard, isn't it? Because if Barack Clone Obama can't run for president, then Jeb Bush, who is clearly a slime time fail clone of G-dubs, shouldn't be able to get up there. You know what I mean?
What if clone Barack Obama took like a pivot and was like, he just turned on the old one, like, unlike that last Obama, I'm a real Christian. Wink. And old Obama was like, "What the fuck?" He's like, "I don't know. I don't."
I was cloned in America. I don't know what to tell you.
Cloned in America 15 minutes ago, and I do have my birth certificate. It's more of a stamp. It's kind of a barcode.
It's like a stamp that a scientist drew.
It's basically a barcode on the back of my head.
So. But you can see, if you look at that barcode, scan it in. That's right. When you read it, after you scan it in, it says Barack Hussein Obama, but then the Hussein has been scratched out. And instead, it says Earl, the most American name.
Barack Earl. That's too bad. I was going to go with Barack Hussein Obama, the sequel to Barack Obama. I love sequels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that... So, yeah, I guess...
I think he'd do a killer job, right? Like,
yeah, he'd crush it.
He'd have. I guess he would retain all the memories and experience of Barack Obama.
Could we clone?
Yep.
Okay. Could we clone him?
Yep.
Now.
Yep.
But the clone would be 8 years younger.
You're saying it's so upset. It's kind of a bummer to look at him now because it's like, homie, you aged like a billion years in the past.
No, what
years.
I'm saying, Griffin, is imagine a president, right, with the youth and vitality. And, like, springiness, his ability to leap from room to room that 8 years ago Barack Obama had. But with all of the knowledge of how all this shit works how to get shit done.
Why just rewind it 8 years? I want to go way further back to fucking fresh-ass Chicago Obama. Yeah. That dude was the best. The best. I try to model myself and my life based on, like, a single picture I saw once of Chicago Obama. And it was the freshest thing
I've ever
seen.
He just comes in, like, smoking cigarettes.
Yes.
And, like... And he's just like whips off his shades and he's like, "I'm gonna fix this shit this time."
He's dunking on Michael Jordan and Michael Jordan's clone, like, "We'll never get him. We can't stop Barack Obama."
He's got all the knowledge of Barack Old Obama, but with all the youth and vitality of Barack Young Obama.
Do you think if we clone Michael Jordan like a dozen times, each one would go and master a different sport?
Because
like MJ, like
no question.
MJ, like MJ had a baseball hiatus. To explore, mm-hmm.
And he conquered that.
He did some baseball. He like was the best at that. Everybody's like, "All right, you did it. Please go back to basketball. You're making the rest of us look bad." But I think if we cloned him a bunch, he would do that for every sport, like hockey Jordan, golf Jordan,
football Jordan.
Oh, football Jordan! Can you fucking imagine?
He would be like the world's greatest wide receiver.
Yeah, he would be because he would be on the fucking 50-yard line and he'd like jump to the end zone and stretch out like a cartoon because he still retains that Space Jam magic.
Because he drank Michael's secret stuff.
What mm-hmm. would that movie be if he was Football Jordan, though?
Couldn't call it Space Jam. Yeah. Punting is not like jamming and punting are diametrically opposed in terms of radical
fair
scale.
Fair enough.
Space Juke? Space Juke is fine.
Space Down.
Space what? Down. Space Down. It would be Space Down. The film, Justin, would be Space Down.
Well, it works on a lot of levels because you get downs and you also get touchdowns.
Yeah, and also you can like get down while dancing. So like, I'm sure the Quad City DJs.
If you get tackled, you're taken down.
The Quad City DJs can do something with this.
I'm so glad. I see now in retrospect, I'm so glad I cloned the Quad City DJs into the Octuple City DJs. So
you beat me to it.
So we can they can do this new song, Space Down.
Oh my God, no, Justin, you left the cloner on. They're the Dodeca City DJs.
No!
Shut it down.
They've taken up all available matter.
The problem is if you clone 12 Michael Jordans, right? Statistically, one of them will be super evil.
Oh, fuck.
Right?
Yeah, nobody can 12. Nobody can stop him.
No one can stop him.
And the fucking...
except the other 11 Michael Jordans.
Okay.
We're just lucky, like, we're just lucky he decided to basketball. Like, if he had, like, walked into, like, if his dad had been like, Michael, someday... you're going to be the greatest person puncher ever.
Yeah. And you're going to be the king of strangling.
You're going to be the strangle king. No one will catch you, and you'll strangle everybody. He would still be going door to door. Like, why can't we stop him?
Someone, please.
Someone, please.
The police would have just given up. Everyone would just accept that you had, like, a 1 in 6 chance of being strangled by Michael Jordan.
911, he's here, he's here, he's here. Who's here? Michael Jordan, he's here to strangle me. Oh, that sucks. That's rough. Sorry, you had a good run. Can you send the cops or something? Oh, yeah, we never thought of that before. Hey, cops, you guys want to go stop Michael Jordan from strangling this guy? Yeah, they can't. They can't stop number 23. Good luck. That's right. He's still number 23 because he's got a strangle jersey, idiot. I'm glad you're dying today.
Hi, it's me, Mayor Rahm Emanuel. I have an announcement to all the citizens of Chicago. Michael's coming. He's coming for you, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Everybody get up. It's time to strangle. We got a real thing crangle. Welcome to the space. You okay?
Michael Jordan got to him. Let's end.
Why didn't he strangle me?
This is the.
Why didn't he strangle me?
This is the end of the show.
Okay,
that's the last thing we talked about on the show. Until this, when I said thanks again to MeUndies, who are dedicated to offering the most comfortable underwear. Go to MeUndies.com/mybrother, and you can get 20% off your first order.
Nice, Justin. You did that real good.
Thanks. It sounded like a real professional.
Yeah, you really nailed it.
I did way better than Justin would have. I'm glad I did a good job. I'm glad I did a good job.
Wait, are you a robot or a clone?
Well, we've been talking about clones all episode, Travis.
I know, but you stuttered like a robot.
What would be the thematic consistency of me being a robot?
Hey, Justin, don't part the kimono right now, okay?
Hey, listen.
Oh, God.
I'll pop whatever cherries.
I'm in hell.
I can't reclaim it. It has to stay where it is.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winter's Feast for a theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a good album, and I hope a lot of you guys got it for candle nights and listened to it nonstop, because that's what I do every day. I listen to the album front to back twice. Takes up a lot of time out of my day, yeah, but it's worth it.
I want to say thank you to everybody who chipped in and helped out on the My Brother and Me appreciation group. We had our annual charity drive called MBMBA Angels, where we help out people in Huntington, West Virginia. And it was a stunning response. Literally hundreds of people here in West Virginia and specifically Huntington and the surrounding area had more of a Christmas because the people in our appreciation group are dope as hell. So
dope. Have you been following the Secret Santa stuff they did for each other? It's like a self-organized Secret Santa trade-off that's going on, and the gifts that people are getting each other are like insane. They're so wonderful.
So top-notch.
Like, they're almost all like handmade, great, jokey, fun, awesome gifts, and that group fills me with life.
You should it's called the My Brother Me Appreciation Group. We have 303 people who are waiting to get in, so maybe we could start sorting through those.
Yeah, we should probably take care of
that. Well, I don't trust fucking Travis to do it, because then it's like, oh, hi, my name is Carolyn Good Boobs, and I'm in a billion groups, and I just joined Facebook a minute ago.
Travis is like,
yep,
Griffin,
sounds good.
Welcome
to the club, Good Boobs.
Did you want to buy some
jeans?
Last
time you chastised me, I've gotten very precise, and I search, and I... I do it, and that's what's taking so long.
You can, if you join our group, you can also see Hamilton composer Lin-Manuel Miranda troll Griffin with pictures of gold dust just in opportune moments.
That fool hit me on Twitter, too. And it's like, it made me double afraid. Like, I'm going to open up Snapchat, and it'll be like a Snapchat waiting for me from gold dust, and fucking Lin gave him my number or something. and then no one will fucking believe me because it's a Snapchat, and it's gone. Oh, gold dust.
Anyway, that's our Facebook group. We're on Twitter. We're at MBMBAM. We haven't mentioned in a while, but maybe go to iTunes and give us like a rating or review. That's super helpful if you like the show. It's the least you could do.
And maybe tell a friend.
Maybe tell a friend just this once.
2016 is going to be a good year to tell a friend to listen to My Brother and Me. And, you know, tweet with the hashtag, at hashtag MBMBAM, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I want to say, in response to our decision to claim that 2016 is 2016, building bridges, we got a lot of people. A lot of kibitzing with that. And a lot of the theme of that kibitz, a lot of stuff I'm seeing is like, I can't believe you guys didn't think of blank. But more importantly, a lot of it is, I can't believe you didn't think of like 2016, continue the con. And it's like, the fact that you thought we should do that is exactly why it is so important that this is 2016, building bridges. Because it's time for us to do some selfless shit for each other and help put this shit back together. Because, guys, look around you. It's falling apart.
Yep.
It's falling apart.
We need to fix it.
We're the only ones who can do this.
But anyway, thanks for listening to the show.
We love you very much.
We love you very much. Hey, go listen to the other Max Fun shows, the other shows in the Max Fun Network. There's lots of so many amazing programs like The Flop House and Stop Podcasting Yourself and Lady to Lady and Can I Pet Your Dog?
And you should go check out Oh No, Ross and Carrie. They've got some very special stuff coming up in the next couple months, and I think everybody's really going to dig it.
Yeah.
So start listening now and rare up
and get
to
ready.
It.
I want to do a special plug for The Adventure Zone. It's a podcast that the three of us do with our dad where we play Dungeons & Dragons, and I'm real proud of it. And if you haven't listened, because it is all about Dungeons & Dragons, I promise you we don't actually play that much Dungeons & Dragons in it.
Yeah.
We mostly just make shit up, and it's sort of like a communal, like, storytelling adventure.
Well, I was trying to figure out how many spells I should know. I started reading the rules, theoretically, for how spells work. Wow. It is a liberal take on that, huh?
We are off book. So to speak. And the book is The Player's Handbook, 5th edition. Anyway, The Adventure Zone. Go listen to it. And Sawbones and Bunker Buddies.
Can I Pet Your Dog?
Can I Pet Your Dog? I already plugged that one. Nice try.
Oh, sorry. And I'm working on a new one that should be coming up pretty soon.
Yep.
That I think everyone's really going to take. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you fucking focus?
I don't do anything else.
I guess that's true.
I was laying around with 102 degree fever, and in a fever dream, I woke up and went, new podcast.
Cherry Pop and Daddy's Fan Cast. Honey, give me a pen and paper right now, quick.
I've solved it.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yeah, please.
Can I read a question and also the description of it? I know this is unorthodox, but it made me laugh really hard.
Sure.
It's by sent in by level 9000 Yadru Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yadru Answers user Ducky, who asks, are potato guns deadly? I built a handheld spud musket. I know it hits pretty hard because it made a dent the size of a Buick in our hay barn, but my grandson is a sleeping late again. I was thinking a good Christmas prank would be to wake him up with a blast to the face.
Oh, God.
I just don't want the blessed goof to die. I just want to rattle his cage a bit.
Fucking grandpa rules. That's gonna do
update. Oh no! Oh god!
Oh god! The blessed goof. The blessed goof is down. Thanks. What do I say?
I'm Justin. Your name.
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
Been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported. Welcome to Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
Ross.
Hi, Carrie.
What do you think is creepier?
Okay.
You jump into a swimming pool. All of a sudden, the water goes away, and instead of water, there is the bones of your dead ancestors.
Ew.
Or our show.
That's pretty tough because we've visited a live exorcism.
We joined the Ordo Templi Orientis where we had to worship a naked lady.
Oh, and we joined that Tony Alamo cult. No. They were scary.
Super creepy. We joined the Aetheri Society.
We tried penis enlargement, or at least I did.
Oh boy, I tried breast enlargement. We have basically done every creepy, weird, fringe thing except for thousands more, which we will get to if you listen to our show.
I'd still say the swimming pool with my ancestors' bones.
Well, then I don't even know if people should listen.
I guess they shouldn't.
But if you want to, we're at Maximum Fun, and the show's called Oh No, Ross and Carrie.